And we are going to go ahead and begin with our message, our lesson tonight. We are honored. We are honored to have the voice and the spirit of Elder Sanders sharing one of his lessons, messages that he gave us here in the past. And the title of this message is called Living Right and Being Saved. Doesn't that sound like an Elder Sanders title message, church? Once again, Living Right and Being Saved. Praise God. So we're going to go ahead and hear the first half of this message lesson tonight. We'll be hearing the second half on the following week. All right. And Brother Jacob, thank you so much for all the help and the hard work that he's put in. He's going to go ahead and begin to play the message now. Go ahead, Brother Jacob.
Praise the Lord. I have some things written down. But using the words of the pastor, I'm probably going to be all over the map today as the Holy Ghost leads us. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and it reads, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What God has done here says man became a living soul. God breathed eternity into man. The part of us that's going to live forever is our souls. I'm responsible for my soul. Nobody can save my soul but me. I can get a lot of help, a lot of encouragement, a lot of prayer, a lot of teaching, a lot of preaching. But I have to take that and apply it to my life. We have family, we have friends that we're very concerned about. What we want to do, we want them to know about God's plan of salvation. Not man's plan, but God's plan. Staying in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Lord gave Adam one commandment, and he couldn't keep it. Give him one commandment. So all these trees in the garden you can eat, but there's one tree. Don't eat of this tree. One commandment. And he couldn't keep it. Now he wanted to justify himself. Tell the Lord, it's that woman you gave me. Once again, we all have a soul. We all have a soul. Our soul is going to live forever somewhere. Body's not going to live forever. It's going to decay. It's going to go back to the dust from whence it came. Spirit's going to go back to the Lord. But your soul, my soul, everybody's soul is going to live forever. Animals don't have souls. Human beings have souls. There's no dog heaven, no horse heaven, no cat heaven. Animals do not have souls. A human being has a soul. It's a very precious thing. After man failed, And the Lord God said in chapter 3, verse 22 of the book of Genesis, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, placed at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. There's one tree of garden, Garden of Eden. There's one way in. That's from the east. So God protected the tree of life. Now God had a desire to commune with man, but that fellowship communion had been broken by disobedience. So what God is going to do, God is a spirit. We can't see God in his glory. We cannot see God. But we have to believe that he is God. Now what God is going to do, God is going to manifest himself. In a form that we can see. Manifest means God as a spirit, as a power and ability to manifest himself in another form and still be God in all his glory. Now, a manifestation of God can only be what is manifested from. If you take some clay and you take a hunk from some clay and make whatever you make, a dish, a beautiful dish, paint it, do whatever you want to do, it's still clay. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh, one and the same. This is an apostolic church. This is what the Bible teaches. We teach one God, one faith, that's the apostolic faith, one baptism. That's what we teach. That's what we need to embrace. God wants to bring man back into fellowship with him. In the book of Genesis chapter 16, somewhere around 13, we're going to get on down to 17, 18. Jesus says, upon this rock, something very solid, something very dependable, meaning himself. And that same thought carries the thought that with this rock, meaning Peter, I'm going to build my church. My church. Now the church is something that if you want a relationship with God, not an affair. If you want a relationship with God, you have to be in the church. Not around the church, not close to the church, in the church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. That's that which is called out. Once again, if you want a relationship with God, you must be in his church. There's only one church. There's only one church. God is a God of one. The church is recognized as the church, his body, him being the head, his bride, or his wife. Your body does not tell your head what to do. Your head tells your hand or your feet or the rest of you what to do. God is the head of His church. We are the body. Once again, if you want a relationship with God, the hard thing about maybe listening to my teaching, I believe this apostolic doctrine with all my heart. And I know some people think I'm a little hard. Life is hard. Hell is hard. If you want a relationship with God, if you want to keep your relationship with God, you got to lay some things aside. You got to lay some things aside. I was married to a lady for about 18 years. And the Lord took her home. She got cancer. She died on a Tuesday about 6 o'clock. Wednesday, I was in church. We had her service Thursday, buried her. Friday, I was in church. God is the most important thing in my life. Lord blessed me with another wife. I had 3 beautiful children, 9 grandchildren, and a great-grandchild. All of them together don't mean to me what the Lord means to me. You got to get your priorities in place. Now, if you want to be in the church, you want to make heaven your home, there's some things that I have seen that bother Brother Sanders. And I didn't get over it in 1 or 2 minutes. So Brother Sanders, I'm going to be real with you today. I always want to be real too. I was at the cleaners, going to the cleaners, and I was talking to, I think, Brother Eugene on the phone, on my cell phone. And this young lady walks by. I had to turn my back. Now, I know y'all saved to the bone, so y'all don't have this problem. Y'all full of the Holy Ghost. Brother Sanders just trying to be saved. That sister bothered me. I'm talking about bothered me. And I didn't get over it. No, I got one in the cleaners, went home. I mean, that thing was still, I could still see her. Now, the Lord bless me, I got past that. I'm just saying there's going to be some things in our lives that's going to bother. You're going to have to turn your back. That's why prayer is so important. Nobody knows your faults, your weaknesses, except like you and God. Nobody. Unless you share them with somebody. We all got some salvation secrets, I call them. And ain't nobody going to know about them. I'm just sharing something. I'm just trying to get you to think today. There's some things that you can't look at. There's some things that you can't read. You can't listen to, places that you cannot go, because it's not good for you spiritually. Now, we're talking about the rapture. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. Now what that means is you must be baptized in Jesus' name. The purpose of that is the blood that he shed on the cross has to be applied to your life. Now if we use the illustration of when the children of Israel were down in Egypt and the Lord sent Moses down there to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, the 12th plague was the death of the firstborn. Now what they had to do was they had to kill a lamb. And then they had to apply the blood of that lamb that was slain to the lintel and the two side posts in the home that they lived. Now if they killed the lamb and didn't apply the blood, what was going to happen? The firstborn was going to die. The lamb was slain, but the blood was not applied. Now, Jesus went to the cross, he shed his blood. Now, if his blood is not applied, and it's applied through water baptism, what you have is a slain Savior, and his blood is not applied to your life. The blood has to be applied, and it's applied through baptism in Jesus' name. The blood is in the name. You don't get the Holy Ghost just because you get baptized in Jesus' name. Baptism in Jesus' name is for the washing away, blotting out, forgiveness, remission of sins in God's eyesight. Talking about the church now. You must have the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, God's presence in your life. And that is evidenced by speaking in tongues, speaking in a language that you do not know how to speak. Now, when you tell God from your heart, you want to change your lifestyle. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired of doing what you're doing. And you got the King helpers. Only God can help you. I want y'all to look at me. If God can help me, if God can help me, y'all don't know, Brother Sanders. All y'all know is I'm baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Y'all don't know Brother Sanders. If God will help me, y'all will never know Brother Sanders. Lord, save me from a life of sin and shame. There's very little doubt in my mind that I'd be alive today. I ain't trying to pump something up. I'm just telling you like it is. Very little doubt I'd be because of the life that I was living. But the Lord had mercy. The church. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The Lord is coming back for the church, for his bride, for his wife. The Lord's coming back. A lot of people don't live like they think he's coming back. My wife asked me, and sometimes the brothers have mentioned this, what do I want? $250 million. My wife asked me, where do you want to go? There's a lot of places I have gone because of my wife. Gone to Grand Canyon, went to Utah, went to Yosemite, and different places because of my wife. My wife wants to go. So where do you want to go? I want to go to heaven. I am not trying to be holier than thou. That's what I want to go to heaven. That's my focus. That's my focus. That's my focus. That has to be the church's focus. If the Lord were to take your husband or your wife or your child, your job, I don't care what it is. You got to go on in the Lord. Your focus has to be on heaven and the rapture. Now, when you first get saved, initially what you got to do, once again, you got to get baptized in Jesus' name. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost. How you know you have the Holy Ghost? You're going to speak in a language that you have not spoken in or have not learned. Now, you have to, as you read the Word and as the Word is taught to you and as the Word is preached to you, you got to make some changes in your life. You got to make some changes in your thought pattern. Got to make some changes in your dress. And I know y'all saying, Brother Sam, you got a lot to talk to somebody with the way somebody dress. If the pastor or the Lord tell me to change the way I dress, I will change. I'm talking about there's some things we need to change. Brother don't need to come in this church looking at a sister wearing a tight clothes and you know, if I could tell exactly measurements, that brother don't need to do that. Y'all don't have to like this. This is a church. This is God's church. This is God's church. This is God's church.
Praise God.
Think down chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again. That has to be our focus. That has to be our focus. Not the job, not getting married, not getting that beautiful wife, that handsome husband, that beautiful house, that car, what is that? It's not a station wagon. It used to be station wagons back in the day. What is that thing? What is it? SUV. Yes. Thank you. Not the SUV. Our focus has to be on getting out of here.
Well, praise God, everyone. We thought we had a conclusion here just a few moments ago, so we apologize for that. But you heard Elder Sanders. He started to get after it there. He was getting down to the nitty-gritty. We're going to hear part two of this tremendous lesson from Elder Sanders next Monday, Living Right and Being Saved. Living Right and Being Saved. Again, what a pleasure and an honor it is to hear Elder Sanders, and what a clear voice that Elder Sanders has. And there's no room for doubt or confusion with Elder Sanders. You heard him say it early on. He's just telling it like it is. And at the end, he made a statement, I just want to go to heaven. That's my focus. And some of our people were texting this. I believe Sister Cindy texted the same thing. And I just want to go to heaven. That needs to be our focus. Praise God. You know, and as I was listening to this, church, and we mentioned the visitors that we had last night, all the visitors that we had, I want to encourage all of you that are listening to this. Please be mindful and careful to give our conference call number to our visitors. When you see them at church, hey, let them know about our conference call that they can dial in during the week. Give them that conference call number and let them know the things that we're doing throughout the week. As a lot of these people may only come once a week. The visitors may only come once a week. And if they can get plugged into our devotions, to our Bible studies, boy, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost just saying this. It's going to begin to spread this fire. And it doesn't have to be a leader. No, it can be you. Some of you are thinking, I want to do something. Well, there it is. I can do something. And boy, I'm going to just keep on going on here for just a minute. Brother Chris and Hannah, who gave us that great occasion for fellowship last night with a champurrado y el pan dulce last night. Brother Chris told me something afterward. Brother Vic, I just want to do something. I just want to do something. I'm so grateful and thankful for what God has done in my life. I just want to do something for the church. Listen to that. I hope you can hear his voice and his spirit in that, church. And that's what we all need to have. And I know we have that desire. So there it is. There's an opportunity for us to continue to spread this great anointing and revival fire that's taking place. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't we just close with prayer right now? Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for the voice of Elder Sanders, a clear voice that we heard full of your anointing, and for a love for you, for your word, and for your people. Let that same love spread out to all of us, Lord Jesus. We want to have that, Lord God. We want revival, and we are seeing, Lord, the beginning of a great revival here in Ontario. Hallelujah. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. We're going to go into prayer in just a minute, but with that said, you're all dismissed in the name of Jesus. I just said dismissed, didn't I? Yes. Have a great night in Jesus' name. We'll be hearing from Sister Roseberry tomorrow morning on our morning manna devotion at 10:15 a.m. God bless all of you in Jesus' name. Amen.